Father, we pray for our lost loved ones. Lord, that by your Spirit you will draw them to the foot of the cross, draw them to Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you do a quick work, Lord, in us and bring us into the place where we all need to be, Lord, walking closely with you in one accord. Lord, we pray that you will so fill our lives that we will splash over in every place that we go, Lord. And there'll be no room for anything else except you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to begin today from Psalms 23, verse 5, just one verse. Psalms chapter 23, verse 5, very popular, familiar, well-loved, probably one of the most loved psalms of all time. I don't know about you, but I found comfort in the psalms many times in my own life, and there are so many promises that are here. But it begins in verse 1 with, "The Lord is my shepherd." So in order for this psalm to be personalized to you, he must first be your shepherd. Amen. Now, there are people who claim that he is their shepherd, but they don't follow him. Therefore, he is not their shepherd. Sheep follow their shepherd. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd calls them by name. And so we must know that we know that we are his sheep and that he is our shepherd. And as such, we are following him because we understand that if we don't follow him, there is trouble on the horizon. Amen. So God gave us this, his word, to comfort us and to show us how he treats us, what his love is for us, his desire for us even. So it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, so often we're allowing the enemy to dictate the level of peace we have in our hearts. And remember, it's not your environment that produces a good heart. It is a good heart that will shift the environment, amen, and change the environment around you. And because if you have the right heart, you have the right perspective on what's going on. You need to see things from a bird's eye view, amen? From above and not from beneath. And so God, by his Spirit, will show us, his ways. He will reveal to us his ways and what is actually going on. You know, when we go through trials and we go through difficulties, did you know that they're actually good for us? How many enjoy trials and tribulations? But are they good for us? Yes, they are good for us. It's part of the process of purification, of positioning his bride, getting her ready for the day when the bridegroom shall come and receive his church. So the Lord being our shepherd, all these promises that are listed here in Psalms 23 are yours. They're mine to receive. Amen. By faith. Faith means I believe what God says, and I believe it to the point where I will actually live accordingly. I will act upon what I hear and what I say I believe. You can't say that you believe God and not obey his voice. See, I mean, the devil believes that God is, but he doesn't listen to his voice. So that's not faith, is it? Faith is me hearing and believing God's word. Faith is me saying, "God, I believe what you told me. And therefore, I will live accordingly. I will live according to your promise. I'll live according to truth. I will accept the truth, but I will reject the lie. I will believe your word to the degree that if you tell me to do something, no matter how sometimes crazy it may seem to me in my pea brain, God's ways are higher than my ways. God knows what he's doing. And if God tells us to do something, it may seem impossible to us, but to God, nothing is impossible. And so we have to step out in agreement with what God says regarding my life as his and not my own. How many are in Christ today? You're born again. Amen. Christ is in you today. That means that I've already died with Him. My life is not my own. We have to determine, folks, that already I have died to this world, and this world has died to me. This is not my home. Quit trying to make this place your home. You are a citizen of heaven. You are living for that reality, the superior reality. God is getting ready a people, a bride in the earth, that He's going to come and He's going to gather to Himself. He's gone away to prepare a place for us. That where I am, there you may be also. And if He's gone away, it means He's also going to come again. And He's going to receive us. So we're looking forward to that day. If Jesus is Lord, He is my shepherd, then all these things are mine. Meaning, look at this verse 5. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't say that I'm taking your enemies away. He says, but you're going to be able to sit down and recline with me. Chill out, rest, and dine in the presence of your enemies. They can't touch you because Jesus is with you. But let me give you a word of caution. A sheep needs to, first of all, recognize its shepherd's voice. And a sheep needs to stay in the fold with the rest of the sheep and with the shepherd. Because if he decides, I want to go my own way, you're heading out into a place where you're going to be vulnerable to the attacks of the enemies. So God says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They won't touch you. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, you know, a shepherd would often put oil on the head of the sheep because there was some scarring or some, they got into some briars or there were cuts, there was scratches. So he would put ointment on the head of the sheep to soothe and help heal the sheep. But not only for that reason, but also the anointing oil would be a barrier against parasites. Demons are parasites. And you need the anointing of God on your head to keep them out of your head. Amen? To keep the devil out of your head. And the devil cannot penetrate the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. We are to be clothed in the Holy Spirit. We are to put God on as clothing. And he says that my cup runs over. So tying in with the anointing is also the filling and overflowing of the cup. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them, amen, as flames of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, amen, in a language that they'd never learned, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus said to them that believe on me, as the Scripture says, out of their belly or spirit will flow rivers of living water. How many know that God wants His people to be completely filled, completely immersed with the Holy Spirit? If you want to keep the devil out, you've got to put Jesus in. Amen? The problem is that there's no room because we got all this other junk going on. And we're opening ourselves up and subjecting ourselves through the eye gate, the ear gate, or whatever else. You know, and we're allowing these things to come in and pollute us. Because we're not staying armored up. We're not staying covered in the Lord. The place of security is not in religious practices. It's not in rituals. It's not even doing a church thing. The place of security is in Him. He is our strong tower. He is our deliverer. He is our refuge. He is our rock, our sword, our shield. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Amen. Well, I'm going to go bust out into that song. He is my all in all. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. My life is complete in Him. when I am full of Him, there is no room for that which defiles and that which torments through fear. You understand? When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, there's no fear. If we are living a worried life, a fearful life, if you're chewing your nails, it means that you need more of Him. And whatever it is that's causing you to lose your peace needs to go. You need to get it out. There are people that have infestations of parasites. Christians have parasites too. And they need to be dealt with. They need to be driven out. And you need to fill up on Jesus until the place you come to the place where there is no room for anything else. Do you understand, folks? How can I be free from sin? We say, well, I'm just a sinner. Often we're saying that because we just want to make excuses for why we're allowing this stuff in our lives. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You're no longer a slave to sin, but you are a son or a daughter of the living God. Amen? That's who you are. You are now a citizen of heaven. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. It means that I'm not a slave to it. I don't have to yield to it. I don't have to bow down to it. I don't have to be victimized by it anymore. You're not a victim, but you're a victor in Jesus Christ. I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. You decided not to. You chose the wrong path. Now, in the Old Testament, for priests, the anointing oil spoke of consecration. That means they were set apart for service in the temple. Today, in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we commune with God. And we are a priesthood. Also, for kings, the anointing oil was used, and it was in association with coronation. You know, when they would crown a king, they will anoint the king. And what was that for? It was for authority to rule. God gives us not only the ability to commune with Him, amen, in a priestly office of intercession or prayer, amen, to represent Him to the people and the people to Him, but He also anoints us in Christ. We're anointed for the purpose of ruling with Him. God wants you to understand who you are. Understand the authority you have been given in Christ. Otherwise, it will be reversed on you and the enemy. If he knows that you don't know who you are, then he will just beat you around and pick on you and torment you. Do you know, as a child of God, I don't have to tolerate any tormenting spirits. Now, if I want to allow unforgiveness in my life, then I'm a target for them. Amen? That's my fault because God says forgive or you won't be forgiven. But if you forgive, there's no longer any legal grounds or legal rights for the enemy to torment you. Amen? Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're going to be turned over to the tormentors. And the tormentors are going to beat you up until you come to the place where you say, okay, I quit. I let this person go. How many know that God did the same thing for us? We didn't deserve what Jesus did. Jesus hung on that cross for us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God wants us to be free, completely free. He doesn't want us to be under the influence or under the authority of the devil. You see, the only thing that Satan had with Adam in the beginning was lies. Adam had authority in the earth realm, amen, to rule over all the creation. And so the enemy came to him with lies to try to get him to listen to the wrong voice. Do you understand the same thing is happening today to God's people? The enemy is trying to get you to listen to his voice. Even when you know it's not right, every time you listen to his voice, he usurps your authority and he turns it around on you. He uses it against you. That's why we've got to say no to the flesh, no to the sin, no to the devil, and yes to God daily. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and so we need the anointing of God upon our heads. And when our lives are filled with him, there is no place for the parasites in us. We're a work in progress. God doesn't immediately deal with every parasite. He takes us through stages of growth and purification. But the problem is that a lot of people don't realize what's available to them in Christ. And so they tolerate things that they should never tolerate. We put up with it. We just give into it. Yeah, I guess this is just the way it's going to have to be. No. Remember RJ when he was here, he says, you're in charge of your own life. And you know what? That's true. We say he's Lord, yes, but this is a cooperation here. It's a cooperative work with him. We walk together with God. Amen. He's not taking away your willpower, your will to choose. He says, you're in charge. You can do it my way or your way. It's your choice. I never force myself on you. I want you to choose to love me. Choose to serve me. Choose to follow me. I want you to learn and understand that your way is not the right way. And if you want to go your way, I'll let you go to your way, but you're going to fall on your face over and over again. You're going to fail over and over again until you realize that your way is just not the right way. Do you get it yet? God says that to me. Have you got it yet? Oh, you're always right, Lord. God, you're always right. And so as a priest who's been set apart to the work of the Lord and as a king who's been anointed to rule, we need to be functioning in that role. Now, Revelation 1 and 5 tells us, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, resurrected, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now also we see in 1 Peter 2:9, sometimes I send this out just as a reminder to us. I have to be reminded myself, by the way. I have to stay in the Word. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who am I? Hey, I'm chosen, right? I'm chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm God's people. In the natural, Israel was God's chosen people. But in the spirit, the church are his chosen people. We are that holy nation. We are the chosen. We are called out. We are separated. And we are a priesthood. His own special people. For what reason? Again, that we might proclaim the praises of him. How many are giving God praise? Giving God glory? How many opening your mouth and saying, let me tell you how great God is. Let me boast on my Father. Hallelujah. Do you know every time you give praise to him, he's saying, now there's my son, there's my daughter. Hallelujah. More joy. More love, more peace, more blessings. Every time you confess Jesus, your name is confessed in heaven. But if you deny him, he says, I'll deny you. If we've already been united with Christ in his death, then why are we trying to save ourselves? Why are we worried? Why are we fearful about this body? This body is his also. I'm not my own. Why am I worried? Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. You know, people do things. We panic sometimes because of fear. We do rash things that we haven't prayed through or thought out because we're trying to spare ourselves or save ourselves from a situation. Sometimes God wants you to go through something, not escape it. We're always rebuking everything, you know. Sometimes you're going to have to go through it. But when you go through it, he says, I'll be with you. And there's a process that will take place in your character. I am getting you ready for eternity. I am weaning you off dependence upon yourself so you will trust me fully. Because God wants trustworthy vessels. God wants people that he can entrust with the superior riches of the kingdom. Amen? But if we're full of ourselves and our own ways, he can't entrust those greater riches to us. How many want to rule and reign with Jesus? Amen. If we do, that means that we're also going to suffer in this world. That means that there's going to be times when I'm going to have to deny myself. In fact, daily I'll have to deny myself. Sometimes I want to get even, I want to get back, I want to lash back at what they did or what they said, and I have to say, no, I deny myself. Sometimes it means you have to suffer an injustice. How many know that Jesus suffered an injustice for us? But for the joy set before Him, the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. How many know there's joy awaiting for those who are willing to obey God, to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him daily? There is just nothing like being in the right place with God, knowing that your life is at peace, your heart is at peace with Him. You know, your mind is also covered with the anointing of His presence, and you just, the little critters that want to torment you are not bothering you. They can't touch you because you're in that place with Him. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've really never known what that's like. You know, you just need to draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. You need to seek His face. I'm here to tell you there is a place of rest in the Lord. There's a place of peace in the Lord that is not determined by your circumstances. There is a peace that passes all understanding. You can't understand it with your natural reasoning. But it's the peace of God that passes knowledge. And it can be yours if you will believe God, take Him at His word. I want to say this too. The anointing can only be received from Jesus Himself, not from some man or woman. I know I've been there. I know sometimes people think that somehow I've got it or whatever. And well, I only have what He gave me. And I can't give you anything unless Jesus releases it to you. And as a matter of fact, folks, I want to say this because there's a lot of times that people are coming up and they want this instant fix and they want to be changed instantly or whatever. And they think if I can just get Him to lay hands on me, then everything is going to be well. Sometimes there's going to be a deliverance that comes through that. Amen. But the problem is this, is that we are filled up with so many other things. And so even if I do pray for you, God says there's no room for me there. It's full of all this other junk. And if we want to be stubborn and we want to be rebellious and say, well, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to quit doing that. Well, then you're not allowing God to have more capacity in you. So you'll continue to be tormented. You'll continue to live without peace until you come to the place where you fully surrender body, soul, and spirit to Jesus Christ and say, it is no longer I who live like Paul, but Christ who lives in me now. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. It's no longer I. Get I out of the picture. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about me. It is about Jesus. Amen. It's not about positions or titles or importance. It's about Jesus Christ and Him being exalted. Amen. His name being made famous in the earth. And you and I doing what was our reasonable service. After we've done the will of God, we should sit down and say, I've only done what I was supposed to do. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm a debtor. I owe God for what He did for me at the cross. I owe Him the rest of my life. I owe Him my obedience. If you want the anointing of God, you're going to have to be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to come before Him with an honest heart, with full confession, admitting, acknowledging your sins, your failures, and do this on a daily basis. Amen. If you slip up, immediately deal with it. Amen. There is grace available for every day. Amen. When we slip up, we don't have to run and hide and feel ashamed and let the devil beat you up and put you in the corner and shut you up and say, oh, you remember what you did? No, God doesn't remember and neither am I going to remember it. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. You're here today. This is a new day, a new beginning. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. You don't have to go through some long, drawn-out process. You just simply need to turn around and say, okay, Jesus, you and I again. Amen. And do it daily. You and I today, Lord. My cup runs over. So Psalm 16 and verse 3 says, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. He's not going to have anything to do with their pagan rituals. And he says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance. I love this. My cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. In the New King James, it says, O Lord, verse 5, Psalm 16, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. In other words, my life is only complete in my God. It's not in anything else. It's not in things that I do. It's not in ritual, but it's in my God. I am complete. And the Lord himself fills and overflows our lives. And how does he do that? He does that as we remain in him. What is our responsibility? Jesus said in John 15 to abide. That means to remain in him. Do you know that also means to obey his voice? To obey his word is to remain in him. And if we abide in that place, in that fold with him, amen? And how many know that it also requires fellowship of the saints? Yes, to remain in him. Why? Because we are the body of Christ and we have to be connected into the body. There are no lone rangers. I mean, no, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm saying it because I love you enough to tell you that people that are in fellowship always do better. It's true. Why? Once again, it's because that's where God commands the blessing. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when we're in unity together. And the Lord commands the blessing, the anointing oil that flows down from our great high priest. Amen. Aaron was a type of Jesus Christ. And we are the body, the garments of Christ. And it flows from the head down onto the garments. And there's healing, there's soothing, there's deliverance, there's cleansing in the body of Christ. And as we see that day coming, we need to even more be gathering. It doesn't have to be in this place, but you need to be in fellowship. You need to be connected to the body. Amen? But folks, you need to understand that God has established this place. God has called us to this place. It wasn't my idea. It was his idea. And it's not about me. It's about us. You're my family. And we have one superhero. Amen? So don't get mesmerized and follow after personalities and this thing and that thing. Well, I'm a follower of Apollos. I'm a follower of Paul. I'm a follower of Peter. No, we are followers of Christ. Amen. We are one body in Christ. And we've been called together for such a time as this. As we see, the end of days are upon us now. Folks, there are things that are happening very quickly. Things are setting up in this world, and we better walk with God now. Be close to God now, because there's going to be some suddenlies that are going to start happening. We've already seen some suddenlies, amen? And they're increasing with frequency. And folks, we better be close to God, because you don't know the day or the hour of his visitation. Be close. Stay into that place. Stay in the fold. Stay in the secret place with God. Stay in the under the anointing of God. Amen? So that those parasites will not infest you. Because the enemy is seeking for an entrance. He's seeking a way. And he does that through compromise. He wants you to compromise. Oh, it's only a little thing. Others are doing it. It's politically correct. If God says no, it's no. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Everybody say, in Christ. Where is the blessing? In Christ. We have to abide in Christ. We've got to stay in the fold. In Him. That's the secure place. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, how can we be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs if we're out doing our own thing, disconnected? Huh? Over and over, folks, the Word is full of this in the New Testament. God wants His people together. He wants us gathering. He wants us seeking. He wants us turning away from our ways, discovering His will, His purpose, and walking by faith in that will and purpose. And the day will come when we see Jesus, oh, He'll know who you are. Because to some He's going to say, "Now who are you?" And now He knows who you are, but you didn't know Him personally. You didn't have a walk. You didn't have intimacy with Him. You didn't have a personal relationship. You were around people that did. You received the blessing of the overflow being around people. Hello. But you never had an overflow in your own life. Your life was never filled with Jesus. We can be filled with ourselves and come to church and get blessed simply by being in the presence of people that are overflowing. But we need to have that intimacy with God, a personal walk with God, where we seek Him, amen, in the secret place, not just visibly and when somebody's watching, but I have a walk with God. God knows who I am, and I know who He is, and I know His voice, and I follow Him, and He gives unto me eternal life, and I'm going to stay in the fold with Him, because in the fold there's security. In the fold, the parasites can't get me, amen. In the fold, the enemies, all they can do is watch as I kick back in His presence in rest and say, life is good in the God zone. You don't overcome sin by trying not to sin. I mean, that's true. Now, I want to share with you an example here. First of all, God wants to be our portion. He wants to be our all in all. He wants to be our cup of blessing. Well, there's a man, I heard this story a while back. He asked a very famous evangelist, he says, "How does one overcome sin?" So the evangelist filled his cup with water and says, "Now pour your drink into my drink." He says, "Well, I can't." "Why?" "Because it's full." You understand? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no capacity, no room, no place for the devil. But not only does God want us to be filled, He wants us to what? Overflow. Overflow. "You anoint my cup with oil, or my head with oil, and my heart overflows. My cup overflows." We need to overflow with Jesus. We need to be a people of His presence. We need to be people of His presence. His presence is so sweet. His presence is so awesome. There is no joy, no peace that can compare to the joy and peace, the love of God. When we have a hunger for Him, we got to quit eating all the junk. We got to get out of the polluted stuff of this world, the stuff that has got so many people mesmerized. And even in the body of Christ, so many Christians are filled with all kinds of stuff of this world. And there's a love for the world and there's idolatry in the heart because I don't have time or room for God because I'm full of everything else. And the enemy loves it that way because he can infest you and he can destroy your soul, rob you of your joy and your peace, and hopefully make you an enemy of God again. You understand that when we bow down to the devil, when we yield to him, we're becoming an enemy of God. Doesn't matter what we confess. It is a choice we make daily. But God says, if you're filled with me, I'm not talking about legalism, I'm not talking about the law, I'm talking about being filled with the power of God, the Spirit of God, so much so that you're overflowing and nothing's going to touch you. You see, in America especially, we're so used to just a little dab will do you, a little drive through, a little quick fix. Amen. And the church in America is anemic. It is sickly. There's no power. And the enemy knows that, and the enemy beats up God's people. And God says, why are you starving when I have prepared a table before you? We need to fill up our lives so much with God that there's no room for anything else. You don't want anything else. When you taste and see how good God is, all this other stuff begins to lose its luster. How many are discovering that? Amen. The stuff that you used to find pleasure in, no longer does it thrill you. You don't want anything to do with it. Why? Because you've discovered something superior to that. You're drinking a superior wine now. The new wine. The Holy Spirit satisfies like no one else and nothing else. You don't need ungodly relationships. Break off those soul ties that are ungodly in your life. Amen? Amen. Don't hang around people that are going to drag you down. Amen. Get around people that are alive for Jesus. Amen. That love Jesus. And help one another up, edify, build up one another. Don't criticize, don't kick, don't hurt, don't bite. But build up one another instead in the faith. That's why we're here. You don't want to sow discord among the brethren. Amen. God hates that. As a matter of fact, he says he hates the one who sows discord among brethren. That means causing trouble. Dividing up the body. You don't overcome sin by trying not to sin. And you don't overcome temptation by trying not to be tempted. Has anybody beside myself tried to stop sinning? We try to stop sinning. I'm just going to try harder today to be good. You know what you're doing? You're living according to the law, the letter of the law. You are trying in your own strength to be good enough. Impossible. Your righteousness is, and my righteousness is filthy. God's righteousness is in Christ. You understand? My victory over sin comes through abiding in Christ and not in self-effort. Because there are some people who have a lot of willpower and they can live a clean life, at least externally, like the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. He says, outwardly you appear to men to be clean, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. What is God saying? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the righteousness that we receive is a gift. It's not earned. But it must be received. And we must have a hunger to be clothed with Him and to take off the old garment of self-performance, of self-righteousness, of self-goodness, of self-anything. Because in myself, Paul said, there's no good thing. Our biggest problem is our self. We get in the way. We try to live our life. And then when we get into trouble, we'll invite God into it. But God says, no, it's not that way. If you're going to be a follower of mine, you're going to have to disown your life. Has anybody ever been disappointed by disowning their life? How many have taken your life back a few times? Today, God, we're going to do this thing together. Well, I don't know about tomorrow, but today we're going to do it. You know what happens is God allows us to fail because we get self-confident and we begin to think that somehow we did it. And so God brings us to a place where we're weaned off dependence on ourselves, where now I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Him fully for the grace of God in every life, that Jesus is the one who's going to protect me from the adversary. Jesus is going to protect me from fear and from worry and from doubt and all these things the enemy wants to throw on you. You know, there is no doubt in God's presence. Amen. It doesn't exist. There's no fear in God's presence. There's no worry in God's presence. If my life is filled with God's presence, I'm not worried. Come, somebody say amen.
Amen.
So if I'm worried, it means I'm too strong in me. If I'm fearful, it means I'm too strong in me. And I have to shift away. I have to turn away from myself to Christ. Get in His presence. Learn how to walk and abide in Him daily. He'll be your peace. Singing in your hearts to one another. Amen. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How many know that's an audible thing too? I mean, we can go. No. Singing to one another.
Amen.
Law. So that's the answer, isn't it? If your cup is full, there's no room for the devil to pour anything into you. The problem is that many Christians don't live full. There's times when I don't either. God has to remind me when I'm not. You see what happens when you don't stay full? See what happens when you're not paying attention? When you're not being vigilant? Watchful? Huh? Because we start to get filled and then that thing starts to leak out, you know? And we start getting self-confident. Well, I'm doing pretty good today. We start boasting about how well we're doing. I haven't touched dope in so long now. And we start getting self-confident. Watch out. Watch out. I've seen it over and over again where people start to talk about their progress. And a lot of it is like, look how good I'm doing. And when we get into the I'm doing good, you're no longer trusting in God fully, but you're trusting in yourself and your ability to do good. And when you do that and your trust is in you and not in Christ, you don't have grace to overcome. And you fall back under the law, under condemnation, under fear, under addiction. But you see, the power is of God and not of us. Our victory is in God and not in us. I have to humble myself and realize I don't have what it takes to walk victoriously. And so I desperately need God's presence. I would be absolutely insane if it wasn't for God's presence. I would have lost my mind years ago. Some of you said he already has, but no. I read that. Somebody was thinking that. I don't know. If your cup is empty, you're going to be vulnerable to sin. Yeah. Everybody got that, right? Okay. All right. Now, one more thing. Before you can fill a cup with pure water, it has to be emptied of impurities. This is the problem, folks. Sometimes even people come up, they want to be prayed over, and they want people to lay hands on them, but they haven't repented yet. They haven't confessed their sins yet. They haven't renounced their sinful ways. They haven't come to a place of contriteness, a brokenness in their spirit where they're ready now to follow Jesus. You see, as long as we're favorable towards sin in areas of our life, those are areas that are not going to be filled in us. There's no capacity for God because we're still full of ourselves and our ways. So God says you have to be emptied of yourself first. You have to be done with yourself first. Once you're done with yourself, you're really done with yourself, now you're in the position for God to fill you to overflowing in His presence. How many want that today?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We must confess and renounce our sinful ways. Number two, we must be washed in the blood of Christ. The cup has to be cleansed. And then we can be filled to overflowing with the anointing, which is God's Holy Spirit. So right where you're at today, I want you to be very totally honest with God and say, Holy Spirit, just pray, Holy Spirit, turn the searchlight on. Reveal to me any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And right now, where you're at, as you, even as I've been speaking today, God has actually been speaking to some of you about some issues and some things that you need to deal with. Some unconfessed sins, some things that you have to turn away from that you're not willing to do. If you want God to fill your cup and you want to be free from the parasites of the enemy, you're going to have to be honest with God and you're going to have to repent and you're going to have to confess your sins. Now, some of you can do it right where you're at. Others, you may want to come right down here. There's places right around this altar area. Come on, folks. We all need to be down here. Amen. And I want you to come and I want you to find a place. Amen. This is the most important thing right now is God wants His church to be holy. God wants His church to be free from infestation. God wants you to be delivered from the evil one. God wants your cup to be cleansed and God wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. So are you willing to humble yourself and say, Lord, I want that. I want to be cleansed. I want to be pure. I want to be filled. If you want, you can come and kneel right down here at the front. Sometimes that's good to bow your soul, just to bow your soul before God and say, Lord, if there's anything, Lord, show it to me because today I make the decision. I am saying that I am done with my ways. I am done, Lord, with believing the lie that somehow I can save myself. Somehow I can be good enough. God, I need your righteousness. I need your presence to fill my life. I want my cup to overflow. So as the Lord is revealing it to you, just begin to confess it and renounce it to Him. Jesus, I confess the sin of lust of the flesh. God, I renounce the sin of unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone, if you have bitterness in your heart towards anyone, you must confess and renounce that. Even as Christ forgave you, so you must forgive them. You must make the decision to say, I know this is going to hurt. This is going to be painful, but I don't want to carry this any longer. I want these infestations out. I want these parasites gone. I want to have peace in my heart. Some of you have been dealing with lust. Some of you have been dealing with pornography. Just confess that thing. Renounce those things. Turn from those things. Right now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. You know who you are. Just turn to God, hallelujah. Turn to Him, and He will help you. He will set you free, hallelujah, hallelujah. All manner of sexual sin needs to be renounced. It needs to be confessed. You need to turn from those things right now. Hallelujah. You need to turn also from the sin of self-righteousness, of comparing yourself to others, because there is none righteous. None righteous. None of us are righteous in ourselves. My righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone. I'm fully trusting in Jesus and no longer in myself. In me, I find no good thing. Turn away from yourself today. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm turning away from myself. And Lord, I am recommitting my life to you. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my mind. I'm giving you this body. I'm giving you my past. I'm giving you my future. Have me, Jesus. Consume me with your love. Hallelujah. 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 The spirit of rejection. God wants to set you free from that. You have this spirit of rejection. You feel constantly that you're rejected, that people don't pay attention or notice you, or that you don't matter to anybody. That is a lie from the enemy. Renounce that thing right now. Say, spirit of rejection, I rebuke you. I renounce you. I command you to get out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus, let your fire fall right now. I call the fire of God down right now. The fire of God right down, right now on this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would burn out and expose everything of the enemy right now. Reveal it by the light in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jealousy, envy. You have no place. Go. There's a demon that is a spirit of performance. You're constantly striving to do good enough, to be good enough. It's a lie. Your goodness is in Christ alone. Renounce that thing. Turn away from yourself. The enemy can't touch you if you turn away from you. And you abide in Christ. Shut yourself in with Jesus right now. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide beneath the shelter of the Almighty God. Jesus. Just call out the name of Jesus. Come on, just call heaven down right now in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I want to be filled. God, I want to be saturated. God, I want to receive fresh oil, fresh wine. I want to be filled with all of you. Hallelujah. 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 Begin to worship Him. Hallelujah.